Hello and welcome back to another episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. This is Talks About Tech Weekly episode 112 today, recorded on Sunday, the 31st of August, 2014. You're very welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael McAndrew. And today we're just going to talk a little bit about what's been going on the last few weeks in technology. I haven't done a show in a few weeks, and that's just because it's been extremely busy. I'm back to school now. I went back on Friday. So I have a lot of stuff that I want to share with in terms of technology for back to school. If you're either a student going to college or even a secondary school student, I mean, I think technology is still very limited in secondary schools in what you can use, but out of school to help you study and that kind of thing, there's a lot of technology that's there. And of course, there are a lot of devices that can help you study, a lot of technology devices these days. You can also get a lot of books online, so that can really help in terms of bringing books home for homework and that kind of thing as well. So I might talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk about the Digital Youth Council event that was on Monday the 25th of August in the Science Gallery in Trinity College. I went to that event. Really, really great event. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And we'll be talking a bit about that. And we'll also be talking about probably the biggest tech news story of the week, which is Amazon buying Twitch. So we do have a bit to get through, but I don't plan on this episode being an extremely long episode or anything. So I might as well start off with my back to school tech tips or back to school tech items that could help you get on your way. So basically, I went back to school on Friday and I'm going into the Leaving Cert cycle now. So it's a bit of a change. But a lot of what school is in secondary school is just book based. So you have to buy the books, you have to buy the hard copy of books. You cannot use a tablet. In my school, anyway, you just can't use tablets. You can't use laptops. You're pretty much not allowed to use your phone. I think teachers are becoming a little bit more lapsed on using phones now. I mean, teachers will allow you to use your phone to take a picture of something if you want to use it for that. Or, I mean, they'll allow a few things. But for the most part, you're pretty much not allowed to use any electronic devices. So it is a little bit limited. But technology is still... I still use technology on a day-to-day basis for schoolwork. And one of the biggest things I used it for, especially in transition year, where a lot of my work was project-based, is a USB stick. And it might seem a little bit old school, but if you don't have a good internet connection for something like Dropbox and you need more space than what Dropbox can give you, a 32-gigabyte USB stick is a really, really good option. If you're doing a lot of computer-based work in school and you want to bring your projects home or bring your projects from home into school, you know, obviously, a USB stick is necessary. But if you look at prices of USB sticks these days, I mean, this Kingston Technology 32-gigabyte USB 2 USB stick is only £8.94 on Amazon. So I highly recommend go on to amazon.co.uk and order one of these. £9 for a 32 gigabyte USB stick is extremely cheap. The price of these is just going down and down and down. I'll have the link in the description or the link in the show notes for this episode for everything that I mentioned in this. But a USB stick is, I think you basically have to have one. I have one on my keychain. It's really important to have a USB stick. And it might be a little bit outdated at this stage by Dropbox and other services like Google Drive. But if you don't have an internet connection, it's still really important. And that's one of the things that teachers will actually allow you to use in terms of technology. Another thing is that I find I use my phone quite a lot during the school day, keeping up to date. I check all my email on my phone, not during class, obviously. I check Twitter, social media. So that's the way I kind of keep up to date while I'm in school. And so a lot of the time, because my phone is 4G enabled, I can be running very low on battery by the end of the day. So I found this amazing, really affordable phone charger. And it's a mini phone charger. It's got 3,000 milliamp hour battery inside in it. And it has a USB and a micro USB connector on it. It's basically, they call it a lipstick-sized portable power bank. it's by Anker, and really, really small. You can just put it in your pocket and plug in any phone you have, an iPhone, Android phone, anything that takes a 5-volt DC input and USB, and you can give your phone a good bit of a boost. So this could be a really good option if you go for long periods of time without, you know, being able to get to a PowerPoint, or if you're in school, obviously you can't charge your phone. So this could be really, really useful if that's something that you need. So this Anker mini battery pack is £14 on Amazon, £13.99, and Amazon.co.uk. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes to this episode if you would like to see that. But seriously, this is a really, really good option if you're looking for if battery life is an issue for you, which it can be for me sometimes. So let's go on to headphones. Now, these days, I think students like to listen to music while they're studying. I know I do, and it keeps me very focused. However, I think teachers aren't any, in my school anyway, they're not open to listening to music, because they make the case that, oh, well, if you're listening to music now, but you can listen to music in class, but you won't be able to listen to it in the Leaving Cert exam. It's not really the point. I think it's more of a younger generation thing where the younger generation of people listen to music to help them concentrate. It's a proven study that music helps you concentrate, and it helps you to get work done. Now, certain types of music, I mean, not all kinds of music will help you get work done, but there are certain kinds of music that will. And so a set of good headphones that won't fatigue you can be a fantastic tool for you. It won't annoy anyone you're working next to if you're studying in a study room with many other people. If you're studying at home, it won't annoy your parents with those blaring speakers. So a good set of headphones could be very important. Now, the headphones that I use are the Bose AE2 headphones, and I got them a few years ago. They're very expensive. They cost about... I think they cost about €150 for me at the time. Whereas these headphones that I'm going to recommend are the Sennheiser HD201s. Now, my friend got these, actually. I was talking to him on Friday, and he got these. And I'm really impressed with these headphones. Very, very popular because they're really reasonably priced, and they actually give a very good sound. But they're very comfortable as well. They're closed back headphones. They have full-sized ear cups, so they'll actually surround your whole ear. These are £17.79 on Amazon.co.uk. And Sennheiser, obviously, you know, they make great, great headphones. Some of their more expensive headphones are just incredible in terms of sound. They make great microphones as well. They make pretty much every Sennheiser product is a good product. So these Sennheiser HD201s, they're kind of on the lower end of Sennheiser headphones, but they're still extremely good headphones and good quality headphones. £17.79 on Amazon.co.uk. These are really, really good headphones and an essential tool if you have trouble concentrating, or you need music to help you concentrate, which I know I do. It's going to be hard to get concentrated, get in the zone sometimes. But if you're not a big fan of if you're not really a big fan of the big cans, as some people call them, the big over-the-ear headphones, and you don't mind sacrificing a bit of comfort for a bit of look, I would recommend these ME Electronics M6 headphones. Now, I've our earphones. These are in-ear monitors, and I've had them for quite a long time. Actually, not that long. I've had them for about a month now at this stage, and I was so happy I bought two other pairs, one for my brother, one for my dad, because we do a lot of stuff, a lot of music recording and playing in a band, and so we need kind of protection, ear protection, and they really do a very good job isolating sound so that, you know, they actually do a bit of ear protection and ear, you know, noise cancellation, noise isolation, because they make such a tight seal inside in your ear. But these are extremely comfortable. They've got six different kind of ear pads. So depend, you know, if you have a very small ear, like I do, you can use one of the smaller size ear pads. And if you have a large ear, you can use one of the bigger ones. So it makes it very comfortable for everybody. And the sound, okay, so the sound is very mid-rangey. It's not exactly the best sounding earphone, but it won't beat any sound from headphones. And that's because the drivers in headphones are much bigger, but it's fairly decent and they look great. You can get them in multiple colors. You can get them in black. You can get them in red. I have the see-through ones, which look very professional. These are £18 and 14 cents. So if you're looking for earphones that, you know, they're a little bit lower profile than the big headphones, then these could be a very good option for you. All right, so let's move on to phones. Now, these days, I think a phone is like the center of any student's life. It's the bridging point between a student and a student's world and the online world. Because a phone is a mobile device that they can carry around with them everywhere. You can have internet connectivity everywhere you go. And I think it's an extremely important part of any student's kind of equipment to have a good phone, because not only is it for online, but it's also for making phone calls, text messages. It's extremely important. So a good quality phone is a very important thing. Now, you can get smartphones for very little money these days. You can spend €50 and you can get an Android smartphone, entry level. Or you can go and get something a little bit, you can go like crazy. You can buy a phone like an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy S phone or a HTC phone. And you can get ones that are very, very expensive. The problem is, for a student, it makes most money-wise, it makes the most sense not to have a contract, to go on a prepay SIM, which is what I do. Because I believe, anyway, that you can get much better value for money on a prepaid SIM. You don't have to go on a 2-year contract to get your phone. You pay for what you're going to use beforehand, and when you run out of it, you can go and pay for more. So you're not going to be landed with a large bill that you may or may not be able to pay. So a prepay option is definitely much better for you. So in terms of phones, I think the best thing to do these days is to hit a happy middle ground. There's a few options out there. The OnePlus One is an absolutely incredible phone. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but basically it's what the company are calling the flagship killer, the 2014 flagship killer. The OnePlus One, it costs $300, so it'll probably be about €250, maybe €230 to buy one. However, they're extremely difficult to get at this moment. In order to be able to buy a OnePlus One, you need to get an invite through either by asking someone who's bought a OnePlus One phone, or by entering a contest and or promotional events and stuff like that. That's pretty much the only way that you can actually get an invite to buy one of these phones, and then you'll be able to order it. So it's an extremely exclusive phone. It is a little bit on the expensive side for some students as well. But this phone, in terms of specs, is pretty amazing. It's got, so you can get a 16 gigabyte or 64 gigabyte. The 16 gigabyte is $300. 64 gigabyte is $350, which is the one I would get, obviously, is the 64 gigabyte version. It's got the Snapdragon 801 processor, 1080p display, 13 megapixel camera. I mean, it's got some pretty cool stuff. It's got a voice wake up. It's got on-screen gestures. It comes with Cyanogen Mod. So it's pretty much the first phone ever to come with Cyanogen Mod stock, which is a version of Android that is rooted, so you can do a lot of extra stuff. It's a really, really great mod for Android. And this phone comes with it right out of the box. The screen is a 5.5-inch, so it's massive. It's got 3 gigs of RAM. It's got a 3,100 milliamp-hour battery. And it's got LTE 4G. So it's a really great phone, but unfortunately, it's very difficult to get an invite. So the phone that I would recommend, and this is the phone my brother has, is the Moto G. But they've actually come out with a 4G version of the Moto G now. And I think you should go with the 4G version. It's not that much more expensive. It's like £10 more. And I know I use 4G all the time because they're rolling out 4G very rapidly here in Ireland. And I have 4G in a lot of areas and I use it nearly every day. So the 4G Moto G is on Amazon. The 8GB version is £156 sterling. It's got a 4.5-inch display. I mean, it's got a quad-core processor. This thing is not slow. It's 720p. It's a great, great phone. And the thing with the Moto G is it's not a low-res screen. It's not low-quality plastics used in the case. It's a very, very high-quality phone. It's just as good quality as the Moto X, its big brother. It's just a great phone. So I would definitely recommend the Moto G. If you're looking for a good, decent smartphone. Now, if you're looking for something cheaper, HTC do a great kind of entry-level phone. I mean, the Desire C, the HTC Desire C, is extremely cheap. But Motorola actually probably do the best entry-level phone. They do the Moto E, which is even cheaper. It's £90. It's got a 4.3-inch display. It has a dual-core Snapdragon 200 processor, a gig of RAM, 4 gigs of internal memory. You can put a micro SD card slot or a micro SD card in it. And it's running Android KitKat, which is extremely rare for a phone of this price. It's very, very cheap. It's 2,000 milliamp-hour battery. You know, this could be a really, really great option for you if you're looking for something a little bit cheaper. Again, it's got the same build quality as any of the more expensive Motorola phones, which is extremely good. So there are the two phones I would recommend, the Moto E. If you're looking entry-level, and if you're going mid-range, I think the Moto G is a great option. So, in terms of tablets then, now, tablets are kind of a little bit controversial at the moment. Some people still love their tablet. I have the iPad mini, and, you know, I kind of feel like I haven't been using it as much as I used to use my iPad. But what I really use my iPad mini for is music. It's a fantastic device for musicians. It's like it was built especially for musicians because you can read sheet music off it, you can record music on it, you can do so much stuff with the iPad Mini. It has so many great apps for musicians as well. So that's basically what I use my iPad Mini for. I also use it as a soundboard for the podcast. But more recently, I've been using it for ebooks, and it's just, I mean, you can't, it's not the same experience on a phone. Really, on a phone, you just don't have the same kind of screen real estate, you know. So I would definitely recommend that you get a tablet if you're looking to use ebooks, if you want to maybe look at ebook versions of your school books. Because what I've been doing recently, Folens make a lot of the school books here in Ireland, and they actually provide digital copies. Now, they do cost, I mean, pretty much the same amount as the actual physical book, which to me is a little bit ridiculous, but they have a great iPad app, so you can look at the your school books on the iPad, and it's actually an incredible experience. You can highlight highlight certain parts of it, you can write notes in it. It's a fantastic experience, and you don't have to be carrying a really heavy bag. I mean, it's just great. So a tablet could be a really good option if you're looking for something like that. So the tablet that I would recommend the most is the iPad Mini, if you can get one, if it's not out of your price range. The iPad Mini is quite expensive, but I really love the iPad Mini with Retina. I think it's a really, really great tablet. Now, you can get the iPad Mini, the original one, for less, but the Retina display is definitely worth it, in my opinion. And it's also faster. The iPad Mini is €299, so €300. And the iPad Mini with Retina display is €399 or €400. So it is pretty flipping expensive. I mean, I didn't even realize it was that expensive. But if you're looking for something a little bit more affordable, the Nexus 7 could be a great option for you. The Google Nexus 7 is a great tablet, 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage. You can get 16 or 32 gig. They're great, great tablets. And they cost about between £130 and £180. You can find them some places for cheaper. Amazon are putting it out at £160. So, you know, you can get them really, really cheap. And they're just as good as an iPad Mini for ebook reading. You know, obviously the apps probably wouldn't be as good as the iPad Mini. The display isn't as good as the iPad Mini. There's a few things that aren't as good. But for the price, it's just a great, great tablet. There will be probably a Nexus Edge coming out soon. So maybe you might want to hold out for that. But if you need a tablet now, the Nexus 7 is a great option. And then what you can do is just, you know, download PDF reader and you can read ebooks, EPUB books. It can be extremely useful because that's what I'm going to do this year. In previous years, what I did was I bought two copies of the books. Now, what the school did was they did a rental scheme for books, and then I bought another set secondhand books. And so I had one for school and one for home. So that saved me from carrying all these books home for homework. This year, there's no book rental scheme, so it's going to be quite expensive, but I've already bought all my books. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to use an ebook version for home. So it's just going to be just as good as the real version, but it'll be just all on my iPad. So I'm really looking forward to doing that this year. So tablet could be a really good option for that. So a laptop is seen by some to be out of reach because when people think of laptops, they think, okay, it's going to cost me €1,000 for this laptop. Like, that's how much a MacBook Air is now. Is about €1,000 for one. So they're quite expensive. But you don't need a MacBook Air. In fact, these days, you can get Chromebooks. Now, I was a little bit skeptical about Chromebooks when I heard about them in the beginning. The whole idea behind a Chromebook is it is a laptop that runs an operating system created by Google called Chrome OS. And all of the apps that are on that laptop are all web-based. So your web browser is going to be Google Chrome. Your email is going to be Gmail. Your maps are going to be Google Maps. Your storage is going to be Google Drive. So you're going to store everything in the cloud. You're not going to store anything on the actual computer itself. Your calendar is going to be Google Calendar. All your word processing is going to be Google Docs. So you'll be able to do spreadsheets, presentations, all that kind of stuff. So everything is basically cloud-based in this computer. They normally have about 16 or 32 gigabytes of storage. They don't have big hard drives like traditional laptops do. But what they do have is the screen size of a traditional laptop. They have a keyboard of a traditional laptop. They have a trackpad of a traditional laptop. So you can use them for pretty much everything that a normal person would use it for. It's got USB, it's got audio, so you can plug in headphones. It's got a HDMI port, so you can plug in USB sticks. You can access Word documents, so you could do all of your school projects on this thing. It's got great battery life. You can get small ones. You can get like an 11.6-inch one. You can get 14-inch ones. There's so many different ones to choose from. You can get ones with touch screens if you're looking for something like that. There's just so many different options available. Now, the one that is probably the most popular because of its reasonable price is the Acer C720. It costs £180. So you can buy a laptop for £180. And it's a really great laptop. I mean, it'll be able to do everything that you would pretty much anything you would need. There is a Toshiba Chromebook, which is really, really nice looking as well. That's a 13.3-inch Chromebook. And that one is £220. So if you need a slightly bigger display, better build quality, in my opinion, this could be a great option for you. You know, they're really low priced. Dell do one, which is a bit more expensive. I probably wouldn't be inclined in going with that one. But it's pretty nice. So there's loads and loads of options out there. I recommend just look, if you're in the market for a laptop, look at a Chromebook. There's so many different ones available. And they're really, really good quality laptops. So that's my recommendation for a laptop. So I hope that that little guide kind of helped you out if you're looking for some technology stuff to help you out with back to school things. But that's kind of what I've been using this year. I don't have a Chromebook. I have a MacBook Pro, but pretty much in terms of what I use my MacBook Pro for in schoolwork, I mean, like, I used my MacBook Pro for writing a Word document the last day. That's seriously underusing the potential of my MacBook Pro. I would not need such a powerful computer at all. I don't even know why I would use that, you know, for it. But I just happen to have this MacBook Pro. But you could definitely use a Chromebook if you're looking for something like that. So I went to the Digital Youth Council event last Monday. And I really, really want to thank Harry McCann so much for inviting me to go along. I interviewed him on the show not so long ago. Really, really nice guy. Really, really smart guy. He's doing some incredible stuff. And he is the co-founder of KidTech. And KidTech do technology courses for kids. They teach kids about technology, which is extremely important thing to do. And so he decided that he was going to set up the Digital Youth Council. And basically, the whole idea behind this is the 12 youth. There's 12 youth council members, and they will basically discuss technology in Ireland from a young person's point of view. And this has never been done before in Europe, I believe. This hasn't even been done before. So this is the first time in Europe that this is being done. And really, I think the best way to change an education system is by listening to people who are in the education system, because they have firsthand experience with our current education system. So Harry's idea was to set up this council to just talk about changing the education system, but more than that, just talking about technology in general, how technology should be thought, because technology is still it's still in its infancy. And we haven't really set out a plan as to how we're going to teach technology. We haven't really set out a plan as to how kids are going to learn about it, because technology is becoming an extremely important part of life. Any job you do these days requires a computer. It doesn't matter if you are working in a job that has nothing to do with online or nothing to do with computers. You might still have to do work on a computer. You might have to do emails on a computer. So everything pretty much requires a computer these days. And if you don't know how to use a computer, you're at an extreme disadvantage. So our current education system is failing to teach anybody about technology. In fact, students know more about technology than teachers. So part of that is down to lack of training of teachers. So teachers don't know anything about technology, especially the older generation of teachers don't know anything about technology. And so as a result, they can't teach it. If you don't know it, you can't teach it. So what has happened is that technology is just not taught in schools at all. And I think that subjects like programming and software development, I don't think they should be taught in schools. And the reason why I say that is because, yes, there's a huge demand for programmers in this country, and people who have software development skills. But it's not for everybody. Not everybody has to be great at programming in order to be able to use a computer and to be able to use technology. In fact, most people that I know who I would consider to be really great with computers don't know anything about programming. You don't need to know anything about programming to be great with technology. So there's a huge difference there. Programming is for application development, but you don't need to develop apps to use them. That's the thing. You don't need to know how to develop them to use them. That's the great thing about technology these days, is it's so easy to use. You don't need to know anything about code. You don't need to know anything about programming or how a computer works, but you do need to know how to use one. And so I think that's what should be taught in schools. So currently, there is a computer studies class that is done in first year once a week for 40 minutes. They teach you how to type and how to use Microsoft Word. It's becoming extremely outdated. Most people use tablets or smartphones now, so they don't need to type. They don't use Microsoft Word. And Microsoft Word is quite expensive, so most people use Google Docs these days because it's free. So these are kind of some of the things that the Digital Youth Council will be talking about, and kind of topics that they'll be bringing up at their meetings. So the members of the Digital Youth Council are, of course, Harry McCann, who's the co-founder of Kid Tech Courses and founder of the Digital Youth Council, Jack McCullen, who is the co-founder of Kid Tech with Harry, Kieran Flanagan, Lauren O'Reilly, Idel Brown, Kian Bohin, Cormac Kinsella, Jordan Casey, Emer Hickey, Kira Judge, Sophie Healy-Thoe, and Daniel Kine. And these are some of Ireland's top young people in technology. They have won many different events in technology and science, and they're really, really clued in, and they are really ambassadors for young people in Ireland in technology. And so I have had the privilege of meeting all of them at the last meeting. They're a really great bunch of people, and I think that they're really going to be doing a lot of great stuff to kind of improve the way that technology is taught in Ireland at the moment. I think a lot of what's happening at the moment is out of formal education, is in things like Coder Dojo, which is great, but it teaches code and not technology. It doesn't teach young people how to use a computer. It teaches them how to make apps for a computer. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play an audio clip from the first meeting of Harry just talking about the Digital Youth Council. He talks a bit about mini councils in there, which I'll talk a bit about after the clip. Let me just play the clip.
We talked about events like Excited that was held a few months ago, which firstly, anyone who was there was amazing. Young people, as in the picture there, were all together and they were expressing views in focus notes. I know Kira, Emer and Sophie were there and they did analysis on it on the next day. And it's truly amazing to see what young people had ideas-wise. It was more technology in classrooms, no books, bringing e-books, no pens or pencils, less heavier bags so they don't hurt their backs. They thought about it very seriously, and Dr. Beals came up there as well. And Code Week. Code Week will be discussed more in the next segments of the events anyway. Kieran, I think, will discuss that. And then also the SOS Ventures Matt Leeds Symposium will be discussed more by Kenny from SOS Ventures. Mini councils. Now, these are one of the most exciting things I feel for the Digital Youth Council. Mini councils will allow us to connect with young people on a very personal basis, rather than using the social media that we will use as well, and other than using things like events. We'll gather them in a small space, about 5 to 10 young people, in around 5th and 6th class, we said, we might go even younger than that, we'll discuss that more. But we hope to bring these together to be able to express their views in a group. So a smaller group, so it's not really, really, really big and all these views are being lost, but a smaller group that will then feed back to the main council. Speak to young people. This is a picture I particularly like because this was at Excite. And it's funny because all these young people hadn't a clue who I was at all. They all were talking to me the whole thing and had a clue what I was doing or what I was there for at all. And they still managed to tell me everything and anything that they had in their heads. Everything. Like literally, I pretty know half of them did. It's crazy. They all were telling me they want more technology in classroom. They want more e-books. They want everything. They expressed it so easily. It was simple. I think it's the most important part as well. It's not just getting these organised so they can all discuss it. It's just talking to people. You've all family at home. You have young cousins, everything like that. You know people that are of the age that can express these views. And I think that's the most important part of the Vision View Council will be talking to young people. The opinions of the council as well. It's one of the most important parts that I think we're kind of going to miss if we didn't bring it up. The young people, these were pictures I got them all to send me. Was different ideas of how they thought the DDU Council could influence technology, education, different things like that. So we got views like to harness the talent and enthusiasm that is in Irish classrooms for all things, using digital media to make a difference to the lives of students and parents in Ireland, more Android devices in the classrooms for more control, teach kids about programming. So many different points came up there, but it's all about technology. And this is really what the Digital Youth Council will do.
So that was Harry McCann talking at the first Digital Youth Council meeting. I apologise for the bad audio. I don't know where that noise was coming from because I know that I wasn't in the room, but that was the best audio quality I could get. I think Harry made a fantastic talk about what he wanted to do with the Digital Youth Council. So they'll be having meetings all around the country. They want to set up mini councils. So these would be primary schools, organizations and groups. And he wasn't sure about age groups and that kind of thing. But I think they should do secondary schools, primary schools. But definitely organizations and groups are probably the most powerful If you look at groups of Coder Dojo people, Coder Dojo children, I mean, they're people who are, they're kids who are actively trying to learn technology out of school. So their opinions, I think, would be extremely useful and extremely valuable. I know that I have. I'm part of a group of a robotics group that we hold in my house here with Kevin, and we take part in the first Lego League competition every year. Now, this year, I'm not actually taking part in it. I'll be a mentor this year, but you know, I could take it to the lands and ask them if they'd be interested in setting up a mini youth council, because those kind of young people are ones that are making an active, they're making it their business to educate themselves in technology. So I think that they would be the most valuable. So it was a really, really interesting meeting. Basically, what happened at the meeting was there was kind of a public kind of event at the beginning where Harry made his talk, a number of other people made his talk, made their talks. Kieran Cannon made a talk about Code Week, EU Code Week. And there was a talk made about the Mathletes Challenge. And then after that, there was a kind of a more private meeting just with the Digital Youth Council members. And the first meeting, obviously, they just got to know each other and that kind of thing. But it was really, really a very, very interesting meeting indeed. So I'm really looking forward to the next meeting, the Digital Youth Council, which I think is in October. Might be in I think it's October. So I'm really looking forward to that, to see what kind of topics will be discussed. And maybe we could take some action. It would be great. As young people, you know, and if you have anything that you feel that you want to bring to the Digital Youth Council, do tweet them. I think it's at Digital Youth Council, is the Twitter account. Let me get the Twitter account there for you. It's at DYC2014 is the Twitter account for the Digital Youth Council. So I definitely recommend tweeting them if you have any topics that you can think of that you want them to cover. So that's great. So the last topic I want to talk about, of course, is the big tech topic of the week, which is Amazon buying Twitch. This is kind of an interesting acquisition and something that I don't think a lot of people were expecting. Just to give a bit of background, Twitch is the most popular live streaming platform for gamers. They started 3 years ago as a spin-off of Justin.tv. And it was basically, the idea was a lot of gamers were using Justin.tv. So what they wanted to do was create a separate service dedicated to gamers. So since then, Twitch has grown into a huge network of the world's most popular gamers live streaming 24/7. So last week, Amazon bought Twitch for $970 million, which is a really incredible figure. And one that these days is what companies go for. There's very few companies that go for under half a billion anyway. I mean, some companies really do rate the value of other companies hugely. So it's a very interesting move for Amazon. And at first it looks like it doesn't make sense what Amazon could be using this for. In my opinion anyway, I think it kind of, to me, it just looked a bit weird. I mean, what would Amazon be doing with a gaming live streaming company? But if you look at it, I think Amazon actually really wants to get into the gaming market and get a bit of the action in gaming, because in 2012, they set up their own gaming studio and they created a number of games for Facebook. They also acquired the game Killer Instinct by Double Helix Games. So they actually have been doing a lot of behind-the-scenes game development and work with gaming. But you also have to remember that Amazon sells a lot of games every year. In fact, Amazon are one of the biggest vendors in the world for video games. They're only beaten by Steam. So that tells you a lot about Amazon. So Amazon are actually a huge player in the gaming market. But they're kind of a little bit of a discreet player. They don't... They sell games, but they're not taking an active role in game creation or game promotion. So... It's been reported that Google offered Twitch $1 billion earlier in the year. So it kind of looks like it's a bit of a strange thing that Twitch took the offer from Amazon for $970 million. But in a letter from the CEO of Twitch, Emmett Shear, he says that we chose Amazon because they believe in our community, they share our values and long-term vision, and they want us to help get there faster. We're keeping most... everything the same, our office, our employees, our brand, and most importantly, our independence. But with Amazon support, we'll have the resources to bring you an even better Twitch. So what that says to me is that Twitch actually went with Amazon because Amazon were giving them an offer that allowed them to still be independent and still develop Twitch as a brand. Whereas I'm pretty sure that what Google would have wanted to do with Twitch is make it part of YouTube, which Twitch definitely don't want. Because Twitch is an extremely successful company and they don't want to just bury that brand. It's an extremely powerful brand online now for gamers. So why would you bury that and make it part of YouTube when you could have it independent? And that's I think, what the people over at Twitch are thinking. They actually care about their community a lot. So they took a slightly lower price deal from Amazon. But Amazon wants to support Twitch and support what the people at Twitch are doing and keep them independent, but feed them funds, necessary funds for growth as well. And I think that's why Twitch took the opportunity, because Twitch have been getting, you know, they've been getting investment. That's basically the way they've still been kept going, really. But I think they felt like they needed a bit more investment from a larger company in order to continue. And that's why they took the offer from Amazon. So it's a really, really interesting thing. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with Twitch in the future. But I think what will happen is Twitch will be able to expand and grow even greater than they are now. And it's a great thing to see because it provides a lot of competition to companies like Google, which is great. So I think I'm going to wrap it up for this week's episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. Thank you very much for joining me for this episode. I really enjoyed getting back on the microphone again. It's been a few weeks. Unfortunately, I haven't had the time, but it's great to get back on the microphone. I'm not sure when this is going to go out. It'll probably go out tomorrow, Monday, a day later than usual. That's because it's just been extremely hectic at the moment. But I really enjoyed that episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name is Michael McAndrew. You can follow me on Twitter. Talks About Tech One is my Twitter account. You can check out the website, talksabouttech.com. I always post the detailed show notes to everything I've talked about on every episode over there at talksabouttech.com. And for this episode, /TATweekly/112. So thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you on next week's episode. Thanks for listening.